Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And I had this thought here, and I thought, well, I hope I can find it, and I just happened to turn right to it. Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight on the blood of Jesus Christ, and you turn to Exodus 12, and then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And it's good to see little Isaac here. Where is he? Isaac, who was having his near-death experience. There he is. He's a lot better now, and we praise the Lord for that. So, but continue to pray for folks. Dave Bradley sent me an email. I can't remember the prayer request, but it was involving somebody else. So when we pray, you just lift up. God knows who it is, all right? You just lift them up, and God will take care of it. But let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, ask God to bless us and to give us light. And though we be not seminary trained, I believe God can give us light from the Word of God. Is that what you believe tonight? Say amen. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, dear God, for this day that you've given us. And Lord, Father, we pray for Brady tonight. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'd give him refreshment in his body and in his soul and in his mind and heart, God. And Lord, I know the pressures that are on him. And I know, God, that I've watched him work and I've seen, Lord, the things that he has to deal with in a lot of things. And so easily and so quickly the body can be run down. And Lord, he didn't feel good this morning, but he wanted to come to the house of the Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd just bless him tonight. Bless Amanda and bless his family. Lord, just be with him and encourage him, Lord, in your work. And give him your grace and your healing tonight. And Father, Lord, I remembered to pray as soon as it came in. But Lord, I just want to lift up this request that Brother David sent our way. Lord, you know the situation. You know what's going on. And Lord, that you would just bless. And we thank you, dear God, for gathering us here tonight. And I thank you, dear God, for the infallible, inerrant Word of God. I thank you, God, I thank you for this book. You have saved everything, Lord, in my life that was worth saving. God, you've saved it by what's in this book. And I thank you for that, God. And Lord, you didn't require me. You didn't require these people to go to seminary and become doctors and learn all these languages, God, and master them. You didn't require us to do that. You had already done the hard work. You just asked us, Lord, that we would read your word, we would study it, and we would believe it. So, Lord, we believe your word tonight. Father, I pray, dear God, I'm going to mention a name, God, tonight, and you know who it is. Lord, I don't want to be enemies of someone that's your people. I don't want to be their enemy. But, Lord, if a man says one thing, and I know the Bible says something different, God, then I have to side with the Bible. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that this man tonight would read the Bible and believe it and believe what it says, not try to change it. And God, that you would humble him and humble his heart. Humble me, dear God, tonight as I preach this. God, I don't want to be lifted up and arrogant. And Lord, there's many people, Lord, falling in different ways and in different directions. And there are men standing behind pulpits, Lord, that are leading this work in me, God. And I just pray for other pastors, other preachers, God, that you would do a work in their heart and their life, that you would change their mind, change their heart, teach them how to believe this book. Lord, may you be praised, may you be glorified in everything we say and do. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Exodus chapter 12, I just had this as a thought, just kind of as a prelude to the discussion tonight. In Exodus 12, 21, the Bible says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take it, watch this now, verse 22. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the what? Dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he, watch this now, when he seeth the what?
Blood.
The blood. when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. That's where the word Passover comes from. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. It shall come to pass. Now I like this, because I think daddies and grandpas and grandmas ought to teach their children. Amen. I think they ought to teach them. Why do we do this? Why are we going to church? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? And I think moms and dads ought to be very proactive about looking for opportunities to teach their children and their grandchildren what's in this book. You are the solid rock of their lives. They're looking to you for guidance and for help and for hope. And if all you talk about is this and that and the other, that's what they're going to be in life. But if you'll take it, I mean, just look for opportunities. That when your child asks you a question, when your grandchild asks you a question, ask God. God, give me some scripture to help answer this question. Because I think everything that can come out of a kid's mouth in a question, I think you can find verses in the Bible just to teach them. Amen? And I meant what I said. We live in a time right now. We have such access to the Word of God. And sadly to say, sometimes we hardly ever use it. When people in times past gave their life just for a portion of the gospel. We carry it around in our phones. We carry it around in our cars. We have a Bible. How many of you got more than one Bible at your house? We got them all over the place. I'd say use it, but look for opportunities. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. But I'm going to go back to this thing in verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Now I want you to notice that right here, God had separated. The lamb was to be slain. The lamb was to be killed. But if you know the scriptures and the law and the tradition, what they did was once they killed that lamb, they drained the blood of that lamb into a basin. But they then took the lamb in and they roasted it. They cooked it over a fire and then they ate it. And by the way, the law said that they had to stand up. Why? Because they had to be ready to leave because God was going to let them go. And they stood around a table and they ate that lamb. But the blood was separate from the carcass or the body or the flesh of the lamb, in that the lamb remained indoors. But the blood out there was the sign. God never told the Israelites that when I come over, when I send the destroyer over there, he's going to look inside your door to see if you're in there eating lamb. That's not what he said. He didn't say that if the angel comes by and sees you all standing there with your staff in your hand, then you're going to be saved. That's not what he said. He told them, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We sing that song all the time in this church. When I see the blood. And I want you to think about that. Because there's a subject that is very dear to me. And that is the covering of the blood of the Lamb on your sins. And I believe what this Bible says about the blood of Jesus Christ and its role in your atonement, in the forgiving of your sins, the blotting out of your sins, and so on. It is absolutely relevant to understanding how it is that a person's saved. Now, the reason why I bring this up, and somebody's called me into question over this, did I have this understanding right? He's a big preacher, he's got a big name, he writes a bunch of books, and he's got this big church out in California, and he's the president. I looked up his biography. He's the president of such and such college and this and that Bible seminary, and he was trained in this university, and he was trained in that university, and he's got his master's in divinity, and he's got his PhD in Bible and all of these things. But he has got it absolutely dead wrong on the blood issue. His name is John MacArthur. In fact, he also has an account just like we do at Sermon Audio. He puts his sermons on Sermon Audio. We put our sermons on Sermon Audio. And I meant what I said when I was saying a while ago. I don't want to be anybody's enemy. I don't want to be anybody's, I don't want people to hate me. I don't want John MacArthur, because somebody, I mentioned him the other day, somebody called me into question, did I have that right? He said, well, he didn't really believe that. Well, what I did was I was just looking around, and I read a couple articles that some guys had written and so on, and they claimed to have quotations from John MacArthur about the blood of Christ from a long time ago, and some of that was called into question. But I found a video on YouTube of John MacArthur talking. It's his voice. This is his words. And what I did is, if anybody's watching, you want to write this down, go home, look at it, just to check me out, to make sure I'm telling the truth. The video is on YouTube, and it's called John MacArthur Defends Himself on the Blood of Christ. Because he has made some statements in the past that does not match what we see in the Bible concerning the blood of Christ. The statement that he's been accused of making is that he does not believe in the blood, literally the blood atonement. He says that blood is nothing more than a synonym in the Bible for death. It's really death, the death of Christ, that does all the work, but it's not necessarily the blood. And then, you know, he would say things like the blood just shows that it was a very violent death. The word blood there is to tell you that it was a violent death. Well, I'll tell you something, it doesn't have to be violent to let blood. What they didn't get real violent with these animals back in the Old Testament. They just took and slit their throat. That act there is a little violent, but that's really all they did. They didn't get into a fight with the bulls or anything like that, and they didn't poke them and kill them and everything. They just let their blood out. But that's what he's saying. And people, and I had mentioned that a time or two, and people called that into question. So here is John MacArthur in his own words. Because somebody had asked, this is a recent video that he's done. In his own words, here's what John MacArthur said about the blood. And I'm just going to throw this out to you, non-educated, Bible college illiterate. Some of you didn't even graduate high school. How then could you know anything? Did you know that's what they said about Jesus? How, this man's ignorant and unlearned. How knoweth he letters? They're talking about Jesus. They were amazed because Jesus didn't sit with the scribes and learn from them, but he knew way more than them. Amen. So I'm just going to ask you, you workers, you housewives, people who have not been to seminary, not been to Bible college, not been trained on how to not believe the Bible, I'm going to read this statement to you. Now I want you to ask yourself, does this sound right to you? Here's what he said, because somebody asked him the question, what is it that you believe about the blood atonement? John MacArthur said, you have to stop short of saying we are saved by the blood of Jesus in the sense that there is some efficacy in the fluid that poured out of his body. Somebody look up the word efficacy. E-F-F-I-C. I was going to do that before it came out here and I forgot about it. Let me read that again. You have to stop short of saying we are saved by the blood of Jesus in the sense that there is some efficacy in the fluid that poured out of his body. And I have tried to make that distinction, that when the New Testament refers to salvation by his blood, it is not talking about salvation by his fluid. It uses blood as a metaphor or a synonym for death. Then he goes on to say, we don't want to get caught in this bizarre notion that somehow in the actual fluid that came out of the body of Jesus, there is saving power or saving efficacy. That's what he said. And then later on he said, when the New Testament is talking about the blood of Christ, it is talking about the death of Christ. It uses blood because that's a metaphor that speaks of the violence of his death. We are saved by his death. It wouldn't have done any good if he had bled and lived. He had to die. This is what he said. Now, raise your hand, Bethel Church. If that doesn't sound right to you, raise your hand. It doesn't sound right. Okay? Did you find the word efficacy?
Yeah.
Huh?
To produce an effect.
Okay, effectual, to produce an effect. So let me go back and read that again. You have to stop short of saying we are saved by the blood of Jesus in the sense that there is some effect or effectiveness in the fluid that poured out of his body. And I've tried to make the distinction that when the New Testament refers to salvation by his blood, it is not talking about salvation by his fluid. He used that word fluid about 3 or 4 times in that video. I do not find the word fluid in the King James Bible. It's not there. Okay? And it was very interesting to me, and you can look this video up and check it out for yourself. About 10, 15, 20 minutes, I don't remember how long it was. I didn't hear him quoting Scripture. I didn't hear him say, now the book of James chapter 4 verse 3 says this. I didn't hear him say that. I didn't hear him say, now Hebrews says this. I did not hear it. When he said that the word blood was a synonym for death, he did not quote Scripture that said, God said, by blood we mean death. There is no verse in the Bible that tells us that. Now, I'm using all this as an example because some people are all hung up on the man behind the pulpit. Doesn't matter if it's John MacArthur or Mike Hoggard or Reg Kelly or Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or whoever it is. It does not matter. People get hung up and follow the man when they should be following the Lord. Because men don't always get it right. And my experience is, now I'm just not big on this stuff anymore. My experience is the longer they went to seminary, the worse it gets. Very seldom do you find someone who has that seminary education, who has that doctorate degree and all that stuff, that says, I believe the every word of the authorized Bible and I don't change a word of it. Very seldom do you ever find somebody like that. It's almost like Jared, they start looking for ways to come across with some new thing. I'm just going to show you from the Word of God that what came out of his mouth, I'm going to use the word wrong, but I'm also going to say it's a lie. Because if it's not the truth, what is it? It's a lie. So I'm not going to ask you to turn to all the 45 verses I have up here, nor am I going to spend 40 minutes on each verse. But I'm going to read the plain, unaltered text of the Word of God. I'm going to do what you could do when you get home tonight. You could go home like Jim. He's got that on his phone. He pulls that out. And that little thing on there, it's got a little magnifying glass where you can hit it. And you can search for words in the Bible, can you not? So Jim Sedgwick can go home tonight, pull out his phone, push the button on there, and type in the word blood and read every place in the Bible where it talks about blood. That is the access that we have in this world today. There's no reason for you to be in ignorance anymore, church people. You have no excuse. You've got the capability that people who would spend 45 years of their life searching through the whole text of the Bible, making extensive notes, you can do in about 2 minutes what it took them a lifetime to do. No reason for us to be ignorant anymore. Somebody say amen. So let me give you some verses out of the Bible. Okay, that talk about the blood. And I'll just say this. Number one, the blood. John MacArthur's words. That blood that Jesus' heart pumped through his veins is where your atonement is. He wants to use that word fluid. And the reason why he chose that word, he's trying to mock and poke fun of people who believe in the blood atonement. That's why he keeps you the fluid. There are, Jimmy Carmichael, there are Free Will Baptist pastors. One of them was a former pastor of this church, A.B. Brown, that have sided on this issue with John MacArthur. And they actually go so far as to say, so what does that mean? All the fluids that run through Christ was holy and divine and special and sacred and could save you, like his sweat and his spit. And then they were leading you into other things that the body produces in order to mock the doctrine of the blood atonement. And a former pastor who used to preach out of this pulpit has sided on that issue. And at one time, I was going to have him come back and preach out of this pulpit for an anniversary, our 30th anniversary. I don't know if you remember that. And when I read that, I said, nope, he's not coming to stand in this pulpit. That's why I got Ken Goff over here. But I'm not going to have somebody in this pulpit, number one, put thumbs down on the Word of God, and number two, I'm not going to have them mock the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. Matthew 26, 28. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That does not sound like anything that has to do with his death. He specifically mentioned his blood and that it was shed for many for the specific reason of the remission of sins. Christ could not have been hung like as a rope around his neck. He could not have been whatever, any kind of, there are ways to kill somebody where you don't draw any blood. Christ could not have died any other way but by the shedding of his blood. No other way could he have died. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. In fact, I want you to turn there in your Bible, Acts 20, 28. And if anybody comes after you with this, which I don't think they will, but if anybody comes after you this, and I'm saying this to the folks at Bethel, and I'm saying this to people who are watching tonight or anybody who will watch after this, because I'm sure that this is going to get around, because some people are going to post it on Facebook, and then you know what people do on Facebook. Right, 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 right. 392 hits for the word blood in the King James. See, he's already got a number attached to it. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Apostle Paul said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of" who? "God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." What does that tell you? In your terms, what does that tell you? God has what? Blood. He has purchased it with his own blood. Now let me tell you how Pastor Brown and maybe MacArthur, I don't know, I won't speak for him, but I know this is how A.B. Brown got around it. He said, now if you look carefully at the original Greek text of this here, What the Greek words that you will never figure this out on your own unless you heard it from me. What the Greek words really imply is that there's something missing in the English translation. What it really should say is to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own son's blood. That makes a huge difference in the doctrine. So here's the thing. If your doctrine will not stand on the unaltered Word of God, your doctrine will not stand. If you have to change the Bible, and see, they make it sound real smart. They get up there and they say, "Now I know Greek. I study Greek. I know Greek words. And I'm reading this in the Greek, and I'm thinking that there's something missing in the English translation that I can see plainly in the Greek text that no one's figured out." 54 men, translators of the King James Bible, working 7 years nonstop in a circular motion. Every one of them got it wrong. They missed it. But I come along and I'm going to rescue God's real doctrine from it. That's a lie. That's arrogance. I used to be a part of that. I'm not part of it anymore. God has blood and he purchased the church with his own blood. Now, I want you to take your Bibles now and turn to Revelation. Turn to the book of Revelation. I want to show you something beautiful out of the King James Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Won't take you long to find it. It's right there at the end. You get to the first chapter of the book of Revelation, look at verse 5. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." What you see those two things saying the same thing? God with his own blood. Christ with in what? His dead body? No, his own blood.
That's right.
If there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You're not washed. You cannot be washed of your sins and your iniquities if there is no blood.
That's right.
I'm going to get a little fired up here in a minute.
Because
I'm going to tell you, if there's no blood, we're lost, people. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his," not his death, "his blood." Faith, now, this is stuff I don't like to preach this stuff. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have faith in his blood? without being judgmental, because I know that God has pulled me out of a lot of things I used to believe and I don't believe anymore, you know, considering the Bible and things like that. And I know that God has rescued me from a lot of false stuff. Now, so I don't believe that this is the end road for anybody. But I want to tell you something. If you've already got it in your mind that you are denying this doctrine of the blood and the work of the blood in your salvation, you do not have faith in His what? Blood. That's dangerous ground to me. This is a salvation issue as far as I can see in the Bible. I'm just reading the text of the Bible, and it says, through faith in His blood. That's what it says. So anyway, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. There it is. Blood and saved. Blood and saved. Being now justified. Now, right now. Did you know that justification of you is present right now?
Amen.
That's why I asked you, if you died today, where would you go? I think I'd go to heaven. Why? By His blood. I am justified. If Jim Cedric were to die today, Jim, have you ever sinned in your life? You ever done anything wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. If you died today, you would go to heaven because you are justified in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, the blood of Christ has removed and washed all of your sins away off the record book. And when they open the book, like in Revelation, and they're going to read off all Jim Cedric's sins, they're going, well, there's none here. What sins are you talking about? Amen! I like that song. All right, now listen to this. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now you got a bunch of other things tied in here. Redeemed. Who in here redeems coupons? You know what the store's doing? You have something that is of value to them, and when you redeem a coupon, you know what they're doing? They're buying it from you. For 35 cents or whatever the face value of that coupon is, they are buying that piece of paper from you for 35 cents. That's what, when we redeem coupons, that's what it is. You are bought and paid for, not with money, not with silver and gold, not with land, not with anything else. The purchase price of your salvation, blood. Not death, blood.
That's right. Amen.
We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood. See, this is here we have a wall of separation between you and God, and that wall is called sin. And everybody in Bethel Church is on this side of the wall. Okay? At one point in your life, you're on this side of the wall, and you cannot have fellowship with God. This is why God's walking through the Garden of Eden saying, where are you? There was a wall of sin that immediately separated a holy God from a sinful Adam and Eve. So here's what happened. The blood, does not say the death. It does not imply the death. It is not a synonym for the death, a metonym for the death, a metaphor for the death. It is the blood that draws you nigh. It goes. You go past the wall, and now you are close to God. By what? Not His death, His blood. That's what it says. That's what it says. You stupid people who have not gone to seminary and don't know anything, all you know how to do is just read the Bible, and the Bible says, believe this book.
Amen.
And then these seminary guys and these big high talkers use all these words that nobody knows because I know how these guys talk. And I'll tell you what, I don't care if it's Harvard University, St. Louis University, or Free Will Baptist Bible College, when you get into the scholarly elitism, they are different. The guys with the doctorates and the big robes and everything like that, they walk down the graduation aisle. They're the esteemed professors of everything else. I'm telling you what, these guys are different than everybody else. Their education has made them arrogant.
Yeah.
And they had this idea. They may hide it well. They had this idea. If you don't hear it from us, it ain't right. I've hung around them. I listened to them talk. I wanted to be around them. Very few. I got a good friend of mine, Brother Craig Shaw, who's not like this. Very humble man. He's a doctor of theology. Very humble man. I love him to death. And he loves the King James Bible. Amen. Let's see here. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There it is right there. You're forgiven of your sins. How? By the blood. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Made peace through the blood of his cross, reconciled by the blood of his cross. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Well, in fact, I'm seeing it in the idea of the Passover. That God was not, listen, God was not looking for the lamb on the table. He was not looking to see that they were in there munching down on lamb legs. We're obeying you, God. That's not what he was looking for. He made it specific. He was looking for the blood.
Amen.
He was looking for the blood. Paul talks about this and reiterates this in a different way in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. How did Christ enter into the holy place in heaven? By his blood. If you go and listen to this video, and I only giving you just a little transcript, it seems as if, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems as if MacArthur is even mocking the idea of Christ entering into the temple in heaven and making atonement as the high priest. I heard just a little bit of that, and I'm going, what are you saying? But I couldn't really understand it. That's why I didn't write it down. So he went in, not by his death, because his dead body did not have the ability to go into heaven, into the tabernacle in heaven, and offer himself there. He did not. If he's dead, you can't do that. He resurrected, and then by his blood, he went into the whole. See, in the Old Testament, the law was, on the Day of Atonement, the priest took hyssop. When they had killed the sacrifice, they killed the sacrifice out here away from the tabernacle. Where was Christ crucified in relation to the temple in the city? Outside. Outside. The sacrifice was killed outside the tabernacle, but the blood was brought into the most holy place. The priest took hyssop, dipped it in that blood. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times. Perfection. It wasn't a dead animal laying on the Ark of the Covenant. It was the blood. And God was then looking at the blood. And he is atoning for Israel for 1 year. And he had to go back. Christ died once, and through his blood enters into the holy place in heaven, offers his divine God's blood, which means it's eternal and everlasting and not corruptible, and offers his blood one time. And all sins of those who believe are gone forever.
Amen.
By the blood. Not by his dead body. So anyway, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to the servant of the living God? It's the blood that purges your conscience. Did you know that it's the blood that when you sin and God wipes and you go to God in repentance and forgiveness and God forgives you that sin, it's years later, and I don't care how bad it was, years later, and the devil says, you remember that? That's who you are.
Yeah.
Did you know that it's the blood that purges your conscience and says, you know what, devil? God said it was gone.
That's right.
You can bring it up all you want to, but in the book up in heaven that counts, it's been washed away.
Amen.
It's the blood. And so in verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were... I'm not denying the death part and the death aspect, and I would agree with MacArthur that had Christ simply shed blood and not died, that would not have been sufficient. So I agree with him on that issue right there. But he's using that as a mockery and as a setup idea to keep you from thinking about the blood. He demands that he is right on this issue in contradiction to the plain text of the Word of God. Anybody who knows how to read, I would say probably even on a third or fourth, fifth grade level, can understand the blood atonement.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to go to them cemeteries. Amen. Verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. That's true. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without what?
Blood.
For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. You know what that he was doing? He was sanctifying it, sealing it. This is the sign right here. This is going to show the salvation. And so he said in verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament. This is why Jesus holds the cup. And he said, this is the blood of the New Testament. Amen. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. By the way, you're the tabernacle.
Yeah. Amen.
You are the tabernacle.
Yes, sir.
You have been sprinkled and blessed and sanctified with the blood of the Lamb. Not an earthly one, the one from heaven. So he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Underline that, and we could close it up right now and say it's done. It's settled. It's the blood, the blood, the blood. Moses did not throw meat on the book and the people. He did not throw a dead... Somebody, if you're ever in church and I start throwing dead stuff all over the church, you guys carry for a reason. Amen. Use it. Hebrews 10, verses 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It was a penalty of death if anybody but the high priest go in the most holy place. And the Levites wouldn't kill you. God would. If the high priest, according to the law, had to put bells on his vesture. Because when we went into the holy place, if the bells stopped ringing, he was dead. Pulled him out of there. But they were not even allowed to go into the holy place and pull the dead high priest out with their hands. They had a rope and pulled him out. That was according to the law. God was serious about his most holy place. If you walked in there, you were a dead man. But look at what it says now. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? Blood. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, and that is done by the blood. Now in verse 28, he says this, in Hebrews 10, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now this is where it gets real serious. And I'm dead serious. I don't have a beef with MacArthur. If God has ever used him to lead someone to true salvation, I thank God for that. He's got a pulpit, and he's got a church, and he's got video cameras just like we do, and he has a lot of influence in this world. But the problem is, the question that I have in my mind is he trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ? I would not want to be him. And I'll say this. I would rather, and I've thought this for a long time, I would rather have to fight off sin than be under false doctrine. False doctrine usually is based upon pride. We won't change our minds for anything, even when the Word of God tells us. That's pride. And God forgives my sins.
Amen.
But if your doctrine's messed up and in total contradiction to the Word of God, that's a very serious issue. So let me read this. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. If you were in Moses' day and you said, you know what, I'm not going to obey that law, you had no mercy on you whatsoever. You died without mercy. Verse 29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite or despot unto the Spirit of grace. God links them together. That's why I was preaching on the Spirit of grace this morning. God has grace and He has mercy, and it's by His Holy Spirit and by Christ, and it's connected with the sanctifying blood of the covenant. And when you have counted that an unholy thing, according to this verse, there's no mercy. I want to make sure that I'm getting this doctrine right. I may not understand all the aspects of it, but when it comes to this book and what it says about the blood, I believe it. And you better. You better believe it. Now, not what I say, what the book says. And just read a few more verses and I'm done. Through faith he kept that. Watch this. Hebrews 11, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. It's by faith, the sprinkling of blood. Hebrews 12, 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Hebrews 13, 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So he suffered outside of the gate, but his blood was brought to the holy place for sanctification. That's what it says. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And it says amen, and all God's people say amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much as you know, I like this now. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible, see that corruptible things as silver and gold. That's what I was trying to tell you a while ago. You have been bought and paid for, but not with silver and gold. That's corruptible. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, it is precious and incorruptible. That means it's divine. It's God's blood. Never corrupt. Did you know the Bible says Jesus' body lay in the tomb 2 days and his body did not see corruption? Listen, Jared, me and you have been with Robert 2 days. 4 days is bad enough. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his blood. Revelation 5:9. I like this. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, the blood cleans. Human blood makes things dirty. If you get blood on a shirt, what is it we know about that shirt? We're done. That shirt's done. You probably never get that out of there. The blood of Christ is different. When it gets on something, it makes it clean, not dirty. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 19:13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in, not death, not an animal meat, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And I want to say this in Revelation 12:11. I want to throw you this and we're going to be done. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There is something, and I know this by way of some missionaries that I used to know from a long time ago. Used to deal a lot with people that was demon-possessed and things like that. And a friend of mine, he told me they was in Brazil, him and his mom and dad, and he said, Mike, we just had a test that we gave them. If we thought somebody was possessed, we'd open the Bible and try to get them to read 1 John 1:7. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. He said, if they had devils in them, they could not read that verse. And it says they overcame him. That's what Revelation said. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. If you've got devils on you, have the blood applied. They cannot handle the blood, which to me speaks volumes about why a nationally known preacher would want to lead people away from the blood and not to the blood. There's something not that's suspicious to me. That's like all these Bibles taking out prayer and fasting. I get it. I understand what that is. That is a different spirit that is trying to disarm the church people so they have no power in their life. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the death. Nope. Stand to your feet. Power in the blood, power in the blood. Sing with me. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You don't need seminary to believe in the blood. You don't need doctorates. We don't need to have some hot rod up here that's got all these letters behind his name to come up here and tell us something wrong. You have the ability to read the unaltered Word of God. And it says blood. And I promise you, listen, I don't even have to say, now, you just trust me on this one. You go home, do what Jim's doing, look at every place in the Old and New Testament where it talks about blood, and show me the verse that says blood means death. It's not there. That guy's wrong. And he spent a lot of money on his education. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Tell God thank you for the blood. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, dear God. Lord, I love what you've done in my life. You let me meet Sweetie Pie, and she jerked me right out of Bible college. God, you were doing me such a favor. I thank you for that every day, Lord. I didn't get swept up into that stuff. I was heading that direction, and you knew it. But I didn't get swept up in that stuff. And God, I thank you every day for it. You're very good to me. And Lord, I'd just like to just spend my life telling plain, simple, uneducated, the foolish things of this world that they can just read the Bible and believe every word that it says. They don't have to have somebody twist it and mess it up for them. They don't need college education. They don't need them other things. They don't need them concordances and languages and all that stuff. God, they just need to believe what's been given to them. Lord, bless these people. Bless them, Lord. They just believe that book. They may not understand it all. I don't understand it all. But we believe it. That's who you were looking for in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? We believe it. We believe it.